Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
I think we're having some technical difficulties with, I'm not sure if it's my phone or all the phones or Steven's phone.
Hey, Ms. Marcia.
Hey.
How are you, Ms. Marcia?
How do
you have some technical difficulty tonight.
Yeah, we are. I know Steven's phone wasn't coming through clearly. Do I sound okay?
You sound great.
Okay, thanks, hon. So we're trying to wait while Steven get his phone together, his phone situation. How are you doing today, GK?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed.
Awesome.
How are you?
Awesome. I am doing well. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was pretty full. I was asked to come to the set again to Relazime. So that was pretty exciting. Got to be on the movie set again.
Okay. I see you doing big things.
I'm trying
proud
to.
Of you.
I was also asked by the director to come host their red carpet event for the premiere of the movie on Valentine's Day. So I'm excited about that as well.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I'm going to try to make it down there.
You better come. You know, we need you
I'm going to definitely try to make it down
these
there.
Regions, these
regions. Right,
parts of
right.
The US.
That is...
What's going on,
GK?
Hey, Steven, how are you?
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, you don't
we're
sound like Steven
to see
anymore.
You're back on.
I was having issues over here. But I real quick just want to mention that we have today our special guest is Dr. Tanya Gilliam. She's the Artistic Director of Oil House Productions. She has an incredible story, so you don't want to miss that. We want you all to be part of the conversation. The number is 718-664-6543. And I don't have to introduce Ms. Parker because she had to take over for me. But everybody's doing okay?
Everybody's fine.
All right. So, Chike, tell us about, I heard you were saying a little bit about what you had going on this weekend. What's going on in movies?
I went to go see, of course, I had to take Thing 1 and Thing 2, my niece and my nephew, to go see Puss in Boots. That was hilarious. Antonio Banderas did a smash-up job with that. I like how they made, another movie out of a side character. That was pretty good. I hope they continue with it and carry on. It was very, very hilarious. Good for the kids, although it was rated PG, because you know how they make the cartoons now. You know, it's adult content, but since it's done in cartoon, you know, the kids don't get the adult joke.
Exactly.
So it was pretty good. You know, adults would appreciate it as well. And the second movie I saw was In Time with Justin Timberlake. And that was pretty good. That whole concept of your life being in value of time and time is the new currency, it left you thinking about the future and what would happen if that actually happened. With money going the way that it is and the economy being the way that it is, it left you thinking that that's something that's really, you know, viable, that could really happen. And that whole concept of time being, you know, the currency of life, it put more weight on the things that you do in life and the time that you do spend in life. It's very valuable. Most people don't take that, you know, for what it is. They take time in life for granted.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. That's pretty much what's going on.
I see they're doing a lot of remakes of movies. I know we talked about it before, with Sparkle. Then they did that one. What's that dancing movie? The one that's out now?
Footloose.
Do you see, why do you think they're doing so many remakes now?
I see you opened up a can of worms now. I personally, my personal opinion is that they keep going to the same directors and the same writers for projects.
Okay.
They're not giving the people like the guest that you're about to have on tonight, Ms. Tanji Gilliam, you know, an opportunity to write and produce and direct in Hollywood. You know, they're not reaching out more to the Spike Lees. They're not reaching out more to the Lee Daniels. You know, they're not going to those people on more on an independent level to ask them to come write and create stories. They're recycling people. They're running out of stories. The people that have the contracts with the big movie heads don't have the ingenuity anymore to create. You know, if a writer or director writes maybe about three movies that are original, they give them a contract, a studio contract. So now they're under contract. They maybe have like eight films in their contract that they have to produce. And instead of them taking the time and the ingenuity to create new stories and new characters, they just recycle old ones. Because it's all about the dollar bill, and they know that if a movie was a hit before, it'll definitely be a hit again. It's almost like when people remake songs, those songs are automatically a hit because they were hits once before. You need to create something new, even if you have to go into the fantasy, you don't even have to go that far. Real life has enough weight on it to sell movie tickets, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why myself and Ms. Parker, you would agree too, that the independent movies and the documentaries have more weight to them than these big budget films, because
I agree.
Yeah, they're made by people who, in my opinion, are hungry. They want more, so they actually put their blood, sweat, and tears into a project to get the story. It's about the story, not the dollar bill.
Right.
The money will come if you create the art.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's always an underdog, unfortunately, huh?
Always, always. But fortunately for the underdog, I love an underdog.
Right. And I think a lot of people are starting to go that way too.
Yeah. And the guest that we have on tonight, Tanji Gilliam, she actually directed me in a music video. Remember, I was in the Tika Hemingway video, and she filmed that. So I mean, I know her craft. I've seen some of her work. She's on point. Like, why isn't she in Hollywood? Why isn't she creating, you know, those masterpieces, you know, that we see? But, you know, I'll let her talk, because she does have a masterpiece coming out, but I'll let her talk about that.
Okay. Well, Chike, listen, we always thank you for your weekly contributions, and, well, people don't even know about half of them, but what you do for the show. And we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Okay, I just want to drop some nuggets.
You are greatly appreciated, honey.
Oh, thank you. I just want to drop some nuggets before I leave, though. Of course, Industry Night is going to be this Thursday, which I'll be hosting the red carpet, representing the Stephen Knight Show, and that's going to be in Philadelphia. And next week, next Thursday, which is November 3rd, I'm actually doing my second casting call, because the first one turned out so well, we're going to do it again. And hopefully people will come out. And if you need any information, you can go to my Facebook page, Chike Evans. I will accept you as a friend, or you can hit me up on Twitter at @absolutelychike. And you guys have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.
You do the same. Do the same.
All right.
You
too. All right.
Hey, Ron, are you there? Okay, Janera?
A-Ron might be still watching Monday Night Football.
All right, yeah, he's not on. Is Janera there?
I am here.
I heard that laugh. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing tonight?
Her signature laugh.
I know, it's so loud. It really gives me away. I try to stop it, but I just
no,
can't.
It's very contagious. It's very contagious.
I think I'll
What's
take that as a compliment, even if it is.
It is a compliment.
No, it is a compliment. It is a compliment. What's
oh,
going on with the fines? They have some great stuff for us this week.
Oh, I do. And a lot of this stuff, I'm very happy to say, is just a lot of high-end type deals. And I love bringing you guys, like, Designer for Less, because that's just more bang for your buck. So Neiman Marcus is having a flash clearance sale. And I know that I used to tell you guys about you know, the Neiman Marcus sales maybe twice a year, because they don't really have a whole lot, but this time they're having a flash clearance sale off of their, I mean, they're having a flash sale off of their clearance, where you can get an additional 30% off of all of their clearance items. So that's between now and tomorrow. So, you know, it's only a 48-hour sale, and it just started today. So you guys can go ahead and shop online and shop and go to Neiman Marcus. I'm sorry. Go to Neiman Marcus in the store and shop online in order to get your 30% off. So, and that's off of all the clearance. And, you know, I'm into handbags, as everybody knows. You know, anybody who knows me knows I'm into handbags. So, you know, this would also be a great time to stock up on any type of designer handbags that you want, because Neiman Marcus, they'll probably be marking them down again, like, right after Thanksgiving, just in time for Christmas. But this is, like, a great time of year to just pick out what it is you want and, you know, save a few little dollars for, you know, the New Year, I mean, for Christmas and Thanksgiving time. So just letting you know. Another store that's having a sale is Unlimited. Now, they just got over a sale over the weekend, but they're having another one. And this one, you can get 40% off of all pants, skirts, dresses, and jackets. And that's our regular price stuff. Last week, I think I told you guys about Unlimited having a sale, but that was off of their, that was an additional 40% off of their clearance. Well, this is off of their regular price stuff for the fall. So that would be a good thing to shop on. Nine West, one of my favorite shoe stores, is having a 30% off sale on all of their fall styles. So that's their boots, their pumps, their flats, everything. So that might be something you guys want to check out. Also, you know, if you're into beauty products, which, you know, most of us ladies are, and they even have stuff in there for the guys, too, so don't worry about that. They're having, you can get 20% off of your entire purchase, no matter what, in stores and online. You just need to use a certain code, and that code is 17739. So you can go on, shop online and shop in the stores, and they're going to be having that sale, I believe, through Wednesday, so you might want to check that out. Today is the last day at New York and Company. Now, they've been having, you know, they always have a great sale. I always tell you guys about New York and Company. But they're having a great, great, great sale. Like, half of their store, and this is the last day, so you're going to have to shop online if you want to do it. Half of their store is 50% off. And they also have this coupon where you can get 25% off of your $75 purchase, or $50 off of your $150 purchase, and those two offers can be combined. So you can just go online, and with the second offer, you have to use a coupon code. But it'll tell you as soon as you log on to NewYorkAndCompany.com, I think it's nyandcompany.com. You can it'll go ahead and give you the codes that you need to use in order to get that $25 off your $75 purchase and $50 off your $150 purchase. So that's definitely something that I'll be checking out tonight. And Seven for All Mankind. Now, this is for everybody out there who loves premium denim. Seven for All Mankind is having a friends and family sale. And if you shop now, you can get 30% off of everything online and in the store. But you have to use code 7FAMFF11. Again, that's 7FAMFF11. Okay.
And you get, I'm sorry, what's the percentage off?
30% off of everything, and that's like clearance, you know, anything that's on sales, everything, the whole site. So, of course, you know, I'm a big fan of shopping online because that means you don't have to go anywhere. So, I would definitely, you know, check that out. I am going to check that out. That's why I'm so broke. The last sale, the last sale that I have for you guys is at Macy's. And now through tomorrow, this just started today, now through tomorrow you can get up 20 to 40% off of select fall boots. And I am a big boot lover. So, you know, you don't need any coupon codes or anything like that. You can just go online and shop, and you can get 20 to 40% off of their boots. And that's all I have for you guys this evening.
All right, as always. And they can
great
find
deal, as always.
They can find all this on BudgetShopaholic.com, is that correct?
Yes, they can. Yeah, BudgetShopaholic.com.
Okay. And there's a link to that on our website, StephenLightShow.web.com. Thanks, Janelle.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Right.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Stephen Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. I'm Stephen Knight here on EOTM Radio. As you know, The Stephen Knight Show, our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment, news, sports, fashion, and, of course, music and movie reviews. I want the show to be very, very interactive, so we definitely want to hear from you.
So make sure you like us on Facebook, The Stephen Knight Show, S-H-O on Twitter. Make sure to show us some love on these social media. We appreciate all of their support so far. We've been on almost a year now. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
So if you haven't liked us and follow us on Twitter, please do so as soon as possible. And any comments that you leave on Facebook or Twitter would be greatly appreciated. We appreciate your comments on topic of the day, question of the day. What is it today, Stephen?
Today's question of the day is, what is one characteristic that makes you feel like you want to start a relationship with a person, like something someone does that makes you interested? Okay, I think we can start this relationship.
Why are your questions always relationship-related?
I don't know. My ghostwriter here, she must be having some relationship things because she's all she talks about.
Who's that ghostwriter? I don't even know your ghostwriter.
Brie.
Oh, it's Brie. Okay. What was it again? One thing that made you
a characteristic that lets you know that this is the person that you want to start a relationship with, or you entertain.
I think honesty. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
I think it's about that. I'm the kind of person I know. You know, it's how the personalities. You know, you get that chemistry. It's chemistry is the word. I think it's the chemistry.
Okay, so it's more of something that you feel than a characteristic.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
We got a lot of feedback, and so definitely go on.
We'll share
Facebook.
That with you guys later.
Exactly. Go on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you think. Ms. Parker, what's going on in entertainment news?
You know, I always like to start off with something serious. Gaddafi was killed this past week. I believe it happened after Monday, so we haven't talked about this, right?
Exactly.
He was captured and killed. He was found in a drainage system or something, trying to get away. He had already been shot. But I don't know. I kind of have mixed emotions about this. I know he was an evil guy. He did a lot of stuff to people, but I find the way that he was killed kind of barbaric.
Yeah.
He was paraded around, and I don't know.
Videotaped
and you know, videotaped with guns to his head, and I mean, I don't know. I find it quite disturbing. But you know, hopefully that country will recover and move on, and things will be better for them. I know that his son is one of his sons is still in Libya, and he's saying that he's gonna you know, he's going to have revenge for his father's death. One of them was on house arrest in Nigeria, and he was just saying how barbaric it was, you know, how his father was killed. I mean, trust me, I don't have any pity for him. I don't feel sorry for him. I just feel like, you know, it just wasn't necessary to parade him around. And, you know, I don't believe in an eye for an eye. You don't treat people how they would have treated you. I don't know. I find it disturbing, I guess, because I don't like seeing things like that.
I was just shocked that they showed the video on the news, you know, being so gruesome as it was.
It was. I mean, it was a very short tape video, but still. So, anyways, that's that news.
Okay.
It was an earthquake, I guess, last night. When I woke up this morning, it was like 200 people were dead in Turkey. So keeping them in my thoughts and prayers. That it's always something. Every time I wake up, it's like this huge natural disaster. I was just reading a story with these two girls in Russia that was switched in a hospital, and they are now 12 years old. Yeah, they were now 12 years old, and they discovered it because one of the couples got a divorce, and the husband refused to pay child support because the girl was blonde, and neither one of them is blonde-headed. So he was saying that the child is not his. But so they did a DNA test. When they do a DNA test, they test both the mother and the father. And it came back that neither one of them was the girl's parent. So the girl mother started doing research and looking around and figured that her real daughter lived like 12 miles away in the same town.
Wow.
So the girls decided to stay with the family they were with. So I just thought that was pretty interesting.
We talked about that, about making that decision, you know, would you stay with your parents that you've known all your life, or would you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have one of those situations where you have to be in that situation to know what you would do. I think I think it's, the answer is different for everybody in every situation. Of course, if you're growing up in a horrible home, you probably would want to leave.
Right. Way to get out of there. You're like, yes.
Yeah. So let's get to some entertainment news. Mariah Carey and Nick was on 2020 on Friday. Did you watch it?
I actually saw it yesterday on YouTube.
Oh, okay. What did you think?
Well, I thought, you know, I think they have a good-looking family. I was just, the interview, like kind of the body language and the interaction between Mariah and Nick when Barbara was interviewing was kind of like Mariah was like kind of upset, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I felt uncomfortable watching it. It was kind of you're like watching a couple like come almost peeking in their home, like you're watching. It just felt weird. Like I felt like I was like in a place where I wasn't supposed to be listening to a conversation. I'm not supposed to be listening to a private conversation. It seemed like they had some beef. But the babies were so cute.
Yeah, babies were cute. Yeah, yeah.
They were just so cute.
But she had, like, a really bad pregnancy, a really hard pregnancy.
Yeah, it seemed like she was hospitalized. She was on bed rest for
ever. Diabetes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm happy that she's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it was because of her age or, you know, for women, the older you are, the harder, you know,
it gets
with pregnancy and stuff. So I don't know.
But she looks good, though. She's starting to drop
some
weight.
Yeah, she's losing some of the weight. I mean, the babies are really cute. I just thought the interview was kind of weird. Speaking of interviews, Martha Stewart's daughter was on the Today Show this morning, and I thought that interview was really weird. She has a book telling stories about her childhood growing up, but she's like, well, it's supposed to be funny, but she's telling all these like bad stories about how her mother never had any food in the house and Halloween was not how we would think it would be in her house. They had, no one ever dressed up. They turned the lights off and hid from kids. And, I mean, just pretty much just bashing her mother. But I just think Martha Stewart and her daughters, I think they're both kind of weird anyways, and their relationship is kind of strange to me. So I don't know. Maybe that's just what it is. Jennifer Hudson and Punk David, a.k.a. Punk, broke up.
Yeah.
That's the rumor anyways. Supposedly it's over her wanting him to sign a prenup, her not wanting to have more kids and some other things. So I don't know. I hope it's not true. They seem very happy. But I'm sure they'll work that out. Gloria from Basketball Wife of LA has broken up with Matt Burns. I saw that coming.
Everybody's breaking up.
I know. In this cold weather, you better try to stick it out to at least summertime.
Right. This boot up. They breaking up.
That's too funny. Beyonce's, supposedly the story came out from Beyonce's father, baby mother. Remember he had an affair on her mother and had a baby?
Yep.
The baby mother is saying that after the baby was born, he tried to convince her or paid her to give her baby to Beyonce and Jay-Z to raise as their own.
This whole
thing. I believe it. That's just weird.
Yeah. This whole thing is getting out of hand. Like, there's so much speculation over, is Beyonce pregnant? Is she not pregnant? Now everyone's coming to, well, I'm having the baby. You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what I did read? I read that back in the 60s, Marvin Gaye's wife faked the pregnancy and it adopted.
Yeah, I heard that too, but it's like I'm trying to do some research on that. I wonder if it ever like came out or whatever, because supposedly back in the 60s, it wasn't manly to adopt. Like, so if you were married and you adopt a baby, it made you look like you wasn't manly enough to have your own baby.
Right,
and they were having
paternity
issues. And so they had a surrogate, or they adopted a baby. No, they adopted a baby on the day she was on her due date.
On her due date, yeah.
If that's not a scam of all scams,
right.
I thought
I mean, that was
not,
Marvin the Third, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if it's that serious, I don't know. It can't be that serious.
But my thing with all these celebrities adopting children and whatnot, who cares? If you
don't shouldn't be that big of a deal. No, you're right. It shouldn't be that big of a deal, especially, like you said, people are adopting kids of different race. They're adopting by themselves. Gay, you know, couples are adopting babies.
Right.
It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Just say you don't want to have your own, and I don't know. I hope it's not true, because that would just be weird.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah, we sure will. Do we have more time, or do you want to move on?
Actually, let's take a quick break. Let's come back, because Dr. Tansy Gilliam, we'll be talking to her soon. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to her, okay?
Okay.
Hey, y'all, this is Samal Lathan, and you're watching EOTM Media. Hello.
All right, well, that was a quick break.
Well, we're back.
Okay. Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm Stephen Knight, and Ms. Parker, of course, is on the line. I want to make sure that everyone goes to go on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page, the Stephen Knight Show, SHO, and our website, thestephenknightshow.webs.com, and have links to all of our stuff that we have going on individually and collectively. But Dr. Tansy Gilliam is the Artistic Director of Oil House Productions, a multimedia design firm. She is a recipient of numerous awards from Social Science Research Council. She was also recently awarded the Lee Way Foundation's Art Domestic Violence. Dr. Gilliam received a PhD in 2009 in History of Culture from the University of Chicago. She also received her MFA in Film, Video, and New Media from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago in 2006. In 2007, she founded the Oil House Productions, a multimedia culture design firm. In this role, she has partnered with several nonprofit organizations, including Vision to Peace, which is out of Southeast D.C. It's an anti-violence youth organization. The featured length documentary she co-produced and edited along with Visions to Peace, Vision is Our Power, premiered at the National Museum of Women and the Arts and its permanent display at the Children's National Medical Center in D.C. She has also filmed four productions in the past 6 years. She's been very busy. A Long Walk Home story of a rape survivor, which is a acronym for SOARS, at the University of Chicago, Northwestern University, and the College of New Jersey and Princeton University. Oil House Productions has two films let me make sure I say it right, for Denaya and Runs Deep, screened at the International Film Festival, Rottenham's new arrival competition in December of last year. Both works explore the impact of sexual violence on black girls. The first narrative short, Room Tone, premiered at the Cannes Festival this year in May. So please help me welcome this Mr. Accomplished, Dr. Gilliam. How you doing tonight, Mr. Gilliam?
Hi, how are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I think it's terrible at the outset that TK must have given me that long bio. Shameful.
You've been doing a lot.
That is shameful. He could have asked me for a shorter one. That is not radio ready. He took that from, like, my government job page, you know?
I mean, you have done, you've been busy. You've been busy. Let's start from the beginning. Based on your background, it seems like education has been very important to you. How do you think it has informed your success, you know, that you've experienced this far?
Well, I mean, I think for the most part it gave me options, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I fully intended when I first got to college to continue on and get the PhD. I know for sure I didn't intend to get the MFA, but it just kind of evolved organically, and I'm really grateful for both of those opportunities because at the end of the day, in the market that we're in and with the scarce availability of jobs, you know, being able to flip-flop and just wear different hats between being a filmmaker and being a professor and, you know, those kinds of things will just, you know, give you the kind of options that I think that you need to stay gainfully employed. And that's really tough right now. So
yeah.
I'm a big advocate for education. And I think that whenever people have spare time, they should pursue advanced degrees.
So you said that, you know, it wasn't something that you actually set out to do initially with the PhD. What made you actually decide to go that route?
Well, you know, when I was in college, my freshman and sophomore year at Du Bois College House, which is ironically where I live now as a faculty fellow back on Penn's campus, my first roommate was a woman by the name of Regine Jones Charles, and she was interested in getting her PhD. And I just kind of was mentored by her and decided to follow in her footsteps. I didn't know fully what that path would mean for me. Sometimes I still think I don't.
Right.
But I'm really grateful because I think that the PhD is already serving me, both in terms of developing my own business in the arts and culture industry, but then also because, you know, my true passion is teaching. And I feel like no matter what level I teach at, and I've taught at a lot of different levels at this point, the PhD right. will never hurt that. So
exactly. And it's always going to be there.
It's always going to be there.
Well, let's talk about Oil House Productions.
Please.
What made you decide to even go that route? When did you fall in love with film and, you know, and the arts in that capacity?
I come from a family that is really multi-talented. A lot of singers in my family. I'm the only one who can't carry a tune. And, you know, an entire family that was really sort of passionate about the arts in general. And I was just sort of raised that way. My little brother, he hates when I say that. I hope he's not listening right now. My brother was only 2 years younger than me. Well, I have to get out of the habit of saying my little brother is a singer. His name is TJ Gilliam. My older brother, Travis Gilliam, is in Oil House and is a filmmaker as well. My parents, you know, were just sort of active in introducing us to the arts in an early age. Mm-hmm. And I think film in particular inspired me because, you know, taking the professor route, you're supposed to just read and write and read and write and read and write. And I still do that, but I just feel like the writing that you do from a kind of academic or scholarly platform is really sort of limited in being able to reach mass audiences. And film is different in that sense. And film really allows you to carry over, you know, the same message that I have there in my writing, but really reach larger audiences and work with, you know, the folk. So I really just kind of appreciate that about film, and that's what encouraged me to go that route.
So what made you decide, okay, this is it, we're going to do it, we're going to open it? First of all, what's the process? I know that a lot of people, we were talking about in our earlier segment with Chike, you know, he does movie reviews on the underdog. Like, you have these, South Africa, we have a lot of, if you notice, a lot of movies are being redone. You know, they're doing the new Sparkle movie, they did the Footloose. And he was saying that he believes that part of the reason is because they're not giving the people, what's up, you know, the independent person the opportunity. So were you kind of intimidated in doing Oil House, or are you comfortable in the lane that you've done? Because you've been successful, obviously, so.
I mean, we still have room to grow, definitely, right? I think that there's degrees to being independent, and I certainly would like to have a little bit more visibility as an independent, but I never wanted to pursue commercial film in Hollywood. I never even dreamed of doing that. I do not see myself in that lane. And I think it is stifling. You know, I was listening to Chike earlier and just kind of nodding my head in front of my computer. I think, you know, but he's right, that there is something to the kind of passion and drive that comes out of this fear of independence, something that's really big in our area right now, you know, just in terms of what Trenton is doing and what Willingboro is doing, you know, in terms of independent artists and independent filmmakers really just kind of honing their craft and being really spirited in how they, you know, pursue their talent.
Right,
and so
right.
I will always exist in a kind of independent realm, but this film that we're working on right now will be the first one that I actually do try and pursue theaters with. And it still won't go through the Hollywood machine. It's being done entirely in-house, and it's kind of grassroots in that sense. But I do want to hit the theaters, and I'm just going to do that, you know, like independence do, by rolling up my sleeves and getting dirty with everybody else.
Right. Well, we'll talk about your current project. What is it that you're working on right now?
So the name of the film is Blind Man Walking, and it's a feature-length narrative film. It's set in Trenton, New Jersey, and has a cast of 34 people. This is the largest cast we've ever worked with.
Wow.
We have two leads, which is almost never done in films, independents or commercial films, but we're testing it out, and I think it's working well so far. One of our leads is a gentleman by the name of Kevin Marshall, also known as Kilogram, and he's a rapper based out of Trenton. And then our other lead is Jay Clark, who's also a rapper out of Trenton. And both of them are kind of taking a stand with us and doing a sort of first-time acting responsibilities in the film. It also has Trenton activist and politician Darren Freedom Green, and a host of women that act as a sort of supporting cast to this film. It's a revenge fantasy, which has a kind of message about karma and a strong kind of stance against anti-violence and, you know, other sort of social ills that impact communities like Trenton, New Jersey. So we're really excited to be working on it. And it's kind of like our Oil House baby. We do a lot of music videos and documentary film for corporate clients as well as independent artists. But this one, you know, I wrote when I was applying for film school years ago, and I'm just really happy to be back in the area in order to see it realized as a whole film.
When do you expect it to be released?
We have a very ambitious goal of one two. So January 2nd, 2012. And we probably will realize it because we're shooting in just a matter of weeks. We're shooting 3 and 4 weeks from now over the course of a couple weekends. And we wrap shooting in mid-December.
Okay.
The reason why we're pushing it so hard is we're really hoping to do Cannes again, which we did last year. I know you mentioned that. And the deadline for submissions will be fast approaching after the release date. So, yeah, we have full intentions on meeting our goals, and we usually do. So,
Well, I noticed that some of the, in, you know, doing my research on some of the other films you all have done, that you really stay true to, you know, social issues that, you know, a lot of them affect women, but just affect people in general, like with some domestic violence and sexual violence and things like that. Why are those topics so important to you?
I mean, I really do believe in a very sort of strong, present, urgent anti-violence message. I think that Black communities in particular, and my work, you know, almost always speaks to that community, that we are suffering at this point from, you know, a kind of crippling hold that violence has within our communities, within our homes. So I oftentimes, you know, approach violence from a very sort of personal, domestic level. And so domestic violence, kind of broadly defined as the violence that impacts, you know, women, children, and even men inside of the home. Even in this current film that we're working on, Blind Man Walking, you know, there's a bit of that. There's, you know, the kind of sense that in the small community inside of Trenton, New Jersey, and Trenton, you know, is very much unlike, you know, the other cities that I have lived in, including Philadelphia and Chicago and D.C., you know, it has a very sort of small city feel. And that itself can be stifling in some senses, but the ways in which, you know, the rates of domestic violence are impacting communities like Trenton are really stifling, you know, and so I think it comes out of a kind of, you know, just bare bones social reality that we have to do better as Black people, you know, and that we have to kind of lift as we climb, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that by any means I'm sort of above domestic violence, because I'm not. It's something that's impacting me very intimately, you know.
Right.
But in the meantime, I think that while I have a microphone and while I have a platform, it's really important to kind of use that opportunity to give something greater back.
Let me ask you a question. I know that I'm sure you've heard of it, you know, with Spike Lee and the Tyler Perry, you know, they're kind of beef, if you want to call it that. Do you think that that a person like Tyler Perry, who they say has the buffoonery in his movies, what do you think about that? Do you think that the movie should be, you know, mostly motivating and uplifting, or do you think it's okay for there to be a lane for a Tyler Perry to have the comedy and the stereotypical, you know, characters and whatnot?
On a surface level, I think we always need to have balance, right? That what we should be striving for is a kind of balance of media representations that allow us to have a Tyler Perry in the kind of films that he makes, particularly his, like, Madea series, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, a host of other messages being received at the same time. And that's what I mean about kind of staying clear and free of the Hollywood machine, because I think that it's only Hollywood that's restricting that balance. So any sort of blame being, you know, pointed towards Tyler Perry is not really fair, because I don't think Tyler Perry would ever want to stand in the way of other filmmakers emerging alongside him. And in fact, it would probably be really beneficial to his career for us to have a greater film market for urban film, for Black film, you know, however you want to refer to it. It would only help, you know, create larger awareness about his film, you know. Did I ever critique a Tyler Perry movie on the individual level? Sure. You know what I mean? I can remember after watching Why Did I Get Married 2 and just being like, okay, literally, come on now. She's been, you know, abused and all this other kind of stuff, and then she has to get married by the end of the year. And as a feminist, this is not really a message I can get behind. You know what I mean? This kind of, like, you know, kind of very heteronormative model for, you know, the only way that a family can exist is if a man and a woman get married and, you know, they live happily ever after. However, I do think that we see Tyler Perry evolving. And
I agree.
Unlike a lot of other feminists, you know, I was actually really happy with For Colored Girls in the way that it turned out. I think he did a lot of justice to the stage play original. And I think that we see, you know, him evolving and growing as a filmmaker, and I think that that deserves, you know, as much credit as, you know, his critiques, you know, have formally been given.
I agree. Well, I know we mentioned earlier that you had two films that were screened in the International Film Festival in Rotterdam, new arrival competition last year. So being someone that's, you know, independent, you know, working hard, I'm sure, you know, the grind is just crazy. How does it feel to be recognized on that level?
How does it feel to be recognized? Well, I mean, you know, it's really exciting to be recognized internationally, you know, and to kind of think that, you know, some measure of the work that we're creating in this very local space of South Jersey and, you know, Philadelphia by extension is reaching all the way to the Netherlands and to, you know, the south of France and all that kind of stuff. But to be perfectly honest, you know, I do those film festivals so that they can have the kind of reach to return right back to the audience, audiences that, you know, are really more in touch with the films themselves, with the settings and that kind of thing. So I do it for the exposure. I do it as a resume builder, just to be perfectly honest. But I'm most hoping that the audiences that you know, those communities that are reflected inside of the films are looking and watching them. One of the films that I showed at the International Film Festival Rotterdam is a film called For Denia. And there was a little girl who was 10 months old, and she was raped and murdered by her mother's boyfriend in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was compelled by a lot of things, you know, concerning that story. Most importantly, I was compelled by the fact that it took me an entire year to find out about it. And, you know, I'm from New Jersey. I'm from the state that invented Megan's Law and, you know, kind of came up with a sort of system of registering and documenting, you know, known sex offenders. And, you know, I remember explicitly being in high school and seeing Megan Kanka all over the news, you know, and the kind of story that was attached with this young white female child. And I just don't think that black female children are always given the same recognition when something like that happens to them. So I swear to you, I had no idea what I was going to say, what I was going to do, and I just kind of showed up. I showed up there at the house where it happened. I showed up at the hospital where she, you know, spent a couple days in intensive care before passing. I showed up at the black female-owned funeral home that processed her body. I showed up at the black female-led church that actually gave her homegoing service. And I just felt really compelled by the fact that, you know, even among them, some of the details were missing and the story was kind of loose. I mean, there was no sense of urgency. And so if at all, you know, there is an explanation for why it is that black female violence and violence against black women and children is a consistent thread inside of my work, it's because it seems to be that they're the sort of least recognized victims within our community. And I just want to bring more critical attention to the fact that, you know, there are a lot of us suffering in black communities and that we're not all black men. So
why do you think that it's like that, where you don't get as much coverage for black women who are going through these kind of things? Why do you think there's not as much coverage as, like, if a white American girl or white, you know, missing or murdered, you know, it's all over the news, but for black women it's not? Why do you think that?
Well, there are a lot of different reasons. I mean, there are reasons that stem sort of generationally in terms of the impact that the legacy of slavery has had on our community, the impact that, you know, white governments and white politicians have had on our communities. But then there are also intra-racial reasons. You know, there are ways in which, even as, you know, inside our community, we really are undervaluing the importance of protecting black women and children, you know. Domestic violence is never anyone's concern, you know, like the kind of thinking behind domestic violence is that that's between a man and his woman, you know, and that it's not, you know, necessary to intervene. And I won't say that we're only flipped about that kind of violence. I think that there are a lot of parallels between drug violence in our communities and domestic violence, you know, for the same way that non-users will simply be dismissive of, you know, quote-unquote crackheads and, you know, like just kind of like the thinking is that they're doing that kind of damage to themselves. It's no different, really, than the ways in which we perceive a woman that's going through a cycle of abuse. And they both are cycles of abuse, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it comes from a sort of long history, both inside of our community, but then also, you know, outside of our community, of undervaluing black women and children. Zora Neale Hurston, one of my favorite writers, says that, you know, black women are the mules of the universe. And I think that that extends from her Harlem Renaissance era up to the present day, you know. And it's really unfortunate.
Well, in terms of Oil House Productions, where do you see the company in 10 years?
What do you mean by that?
What do you want to have accomplished within 10 years? I like that.
Well, I would love to get a space. Our running joke last year within the company was that Oil House is my house. and so it's really kind of taken over my life in a lot of different ways. And so we incorporated in Wellingboro, New Jersey. Our address is actually the same address that I grew up in, on Hancock Lane in Willingboro. But that was 5 years ago, and so I'm really hopeful that within the next 2 years at the most, we will be in an office space.
Okay.
And I'm considering moving the company to Lawrence, New Jersey. That's kind of my goal at present, to get sort of centrally located in New Jersey so that the clients that we have building in New York and Philadelphia are equally accessible. And another thing that I'm hoping is that we get up to our goal of 3 films per year within our company. We spent a lot of our energies last summer really building and growing the company by working for other artists. And it's not that that work isn't exciting to me. It certainly is. But I never want to feel like my own, you know, projects can't be actualized.
Right.
Now Oil House has grown also from just me and a couple of my immediate family members to a 6-person staff. And, you know, it's not just about my projects and my visions and, you know, the kind of things that I want to write and direct. I have brilliant artists on my team. Shout out to my entire team. That, you know, have their own ideas about what kind of films they would like to create and what kind of ventures they would like to take on. So I want to see us, you know, grow big enough to be able to accommodate all of those visions while also managing other commercial clients.
I hear that. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you have to finish up this film. But your busy schedule.
Yeah, sure do. You're right.
For being on tonight, and I wish you the best luck with that. I know that, you know, that people need a voice. They need to see this kind of, these kind of films, you know, this subject matter, some of the things that in the African-American community that don't get discussed to see on film. And I thank you for doing that and for sharing
thank
it with
you.
Us.
Thank you so much for having me on, and to Tiki for TK for making the connection. I really appreciate it, and you know, I really enjoy the show, and I would love to do it again.
Okay, well, when that film is ready, let us know. We'd love to have you and the cast on, definitely.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Take
well, you
care.
Have a
good
night.
Okay? You
all right.
Too.
Thank you. And for more information about Oil House Productions, please visit our Facebook page. And we'll be right back.
E-O-T-M. Got it going on. There's a fire burning in the street. E-O-T-M really, really can't be beat. There's so much we say to everyone we reach, changing lives with our scorching, steaming heat. We have a PR that gets you on TV. Don't let this pass you, cause everyone won't see. Call us, we will work out a great deal. Get you heard on a station that has wheels.
We will always be around. We can always be found. Got the net locked down, so you'll always have it on. We got the BJs, they can put you on the wave. So go ahead and say,
EOTM got it going on.
EOTMradio.com. Check us out. Talk to Carla. Get the PR you need to get on TV. Take it from Ron Anthony, nominee for the South Florida Gospel Music Awards. Don't forget, let's take it to the street. All right? EOTM. Got it going on.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Aaron is on with us. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Steven? What's up, bro?
How you doing?
Hey, Ryan.
Michelle, Ms. Parker, Steven, how's it
Where
going, man?
At?
Yo, yo, I have a very special guest here tonight, man. It's my cousin EJ, EJ Holt. He's actually going to be deployed to Afghanistan next week.
Wow.
So he's actually here in town visiting me and everything. So if, like, y'all can't speak to
him. Shout out to him.
What's up, EJ?
Yes. EJ, say something.
Is he shy? EJ, you there?
This
is radio shy.
Okay. Aaron, we can't hear him. Is this your phone? Okay, well, Aaron was with us. I think something's going on.
We lost Aaron.
Well, shout out to EJ for serving our country. And the good news
is
that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And to all of our troops, the good news is that they'll all be home by the end of the year. So, EJ, be safe and come back safe. But now it's time to go on to Steven's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country who want to be featured during the segment, and I have to let you know that I have been listening to the music. I've been incorporating to the playlist. So if you've been submitting your music, listen up, because we do feature them in there. Tonight we're playing our playlist features both major and independent artists, as always. We'll be listening to Tank, Selena Johnson, Frank Ocean, and many more.
So if you want to be featured on the Steven Knight Show playlist, please make sure to send us your music. Make sure it is clean. We cannot play anything with curse words on it, as you may already know. So if your song hasn't been played, that may be the reason. So send us another copy.
can y'all give me like 30 more seconds?
Yeah, I was about to bring you back on.
Okay, cool. All right, okay. Sprint sucks, y'all. I'm sorry. You know, Sprint is crazy. All right, here's my cousin, and Sprint's not going to mess up this time. Go ahead, EJ. Talk.
What's up, BJ?
What's going on? First of all, I'd like to give a shout-out to 2nd Marine Division, 1st Marine Battalion, 1-8, you know what I'm saying? We're doing it big, honey.
All right.
Number one, we got Jackson 40.
Breaking up a little bit. EJ.
Out there, y'all might want to reach out and pray for your team. You know, they're looking kind of bad right now.
So, EJ, I was asking EJ, I know that they announced that they're bringing on all the troops at the end of the year. Is he excited about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about that. However, in the history of the United States occupying, we've never left. So there's always going to be troops deploying to certain areas of the country that are combat zones. Unfortunately, my unit has been tasked with deploying to an area where some people were taken from us in a helicopter crash in northwest Afghanistan. That was taking a whole SEAL team. So that's where we're going. I look forward to it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah,
do you know
I do. I look forward to serving my country. Go ahead.
Do you know how long you'll be out there?
I'll be out there for 8 months.
Okay.
They can get extended. But right now we're looking at 8 months or 285 days, if I remember my orders correctly.
Okay.
Well, you and the troops are definitely in our thoughts and prayers. Be safe, and we thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you very much.
I was just about to say that we do thank you and all the troops. I was flying in from Virginia a couple weeks ago, and the plane was full of troops coming back to visit, you know, and I was sitting beside one of them, and he said he just wants to go home. He's been on his third tour. But all of you all, you're in our prayers, our thoughts, and, you know, we definitely appreciate all that you do. So thank you, EJ.
No, thank you guys very much, and I appreciate everything. I appreciate your prayers and everything that's going on. Look, I thank you guys for giving my cousin. You know, I love being here with my cousin. I'm enjoying this right now.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, are you there?
Steven, thank you so much for letting my cousin be on the radio show, letting all the people around the country hear him. I appreciate that. That means a whole lot to me, so thank you.
It's important. It's important because, you know, when a war's going on this long, I think sometimes we forget, you know, if we don't hear individual people, we forget because we're not experiencing.
Exactly.
But when we have actual voice and can associate to, I think that it really lets people remember that there is a war and there are people that are being affected by this every day. So I'm glad that he was able to be on.
Absolutely. And every week from now on, until he comes back home, I'm going to give him a shout out every week on the radio station. Okay.
Absolutely. So, okay. Do you have anything briefly to talk to us about when it comes to sports?
Nah, I think sports has to take a second
have to take a back seat tonight. So my cousin, okay, he comes first tonight, definitely. So.
All right. Well, thank you both. And EJ, again, thanks again. And we'll talk to you again next week, A1.
All right, y'all.
Definitely.
All
you right. guys have a good night.
You too.
Good night.
All right, thank y'all.
All right. Well, back to Stephen's playlist. First of all, I want to thank EJ again and all our troops. I can't say that enough because it's very important that we acknowledge them. But I want to definitely go back into the playlist. Our first song is by a young song entitled Super Flat, Almost Gave Up. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
What happens when everything that you get, everything you think you want, and it's not it? For me, it was my quest to be successful. It was all these things, and, you know, Big had it locked, and the West had it locked, and, you know, everybody doing them, and I'm still scratching on the block like, damn, I'm going to be a failure, surrounded by thugs, drugs, and drug paraphernalia, cops, courts, all these things that I'm doing while these guys and everyone else is moving forward with their life. It's like watching this, watching them. And like, this can't be life. Like, this can't be my life forever.
I draw my stars into Mars and the pen's ink. My confidence, they couldn't borrow like what I think. Could be the key to solving problems, knowledge I drink. By the OZ, foes freeze when I blink. So no, please don't beg for your own life. My mind games kill opponents with their own knife. Construct components of destruction by the moon's light. And once I reach the final level, I consume night. But big homie saying nah, show them no mercy. Premature burials, lace the ground early. Ripping the metal from the mic until the sound hurt me. Shaking the ground so when I rhyme and see it sound sturdy. I shimmy y'all like it raw, worth the old dirty. Just like my cousin bagged the raw, brought it back earthy. Color tones, lace the wallets are the most thirsty. Young cat on his grind, get your cream early. But not a feline in the alley, let these rats scurry. Serve them like Thai restaurants with the red curry. No hurry, I decimate false prophets. Imp beam on the scene, showing why I got it. Hustle man, motto, get it while the getting good. The game is telling me I shouldn't when I know I should. Be the best, well dressed, and the new craze. Throwing the rocks up high, meet the new day. Carving out sections of the earth to make a new way. The switch pass, I'm bad, LL Cool J. So when decision making matters, I will always say I'd rather be underrated, still getting paid.
That's life, right? That's life for everybody. You know, we're all somewhere in between trying to, you know, achieve our dreams and goals and wondering, is this really my dream? Is this really what I want to do? Am I happy where I am? Did it cost me too much? Did it cost me my marriage? Did it cost me my kids? Did it cost, you know, like all these things that we all go through as human beings. It's just all in the music. It's all real emotions when you get down.
And to my loves, I will always share my wild thoughts. But to a love, I will never let my mind talk. Cause even on the light track, the content dark. A loud mind bass while the quiet mind hawks. Just like a silent gun kills but never shows sparks. The end is still the same, yellow tape and white chalk. I let my heart speak volumes like a true leader. It's you and I side to side like a two-seater. You see my faults within my lyrics like a proofreader. Saying for every king a crown and a few divas. But it's okay to play the clown when you a true speaker. Stay on the ball like Ronaldinho and some fresh sneakers. I'm staying lead with my philosophy for true believers. I love the game twice over, I could never leave her. So take a minute to inhale my success. 6 minutes on the clock, why yes, I'm up next.
Thank you. down like no other man. Don't collect $300. Keep the knife in your hand. Won't have to scream and holler. Won't you make me a man? Baby, I know you. You don't wanna do nothing uncomfortable. But baby, rest assured that we look good together in storm or sunny weather. Baby, let me know where you wanna go. Take it to the door. We could do whatever.
Yeah. I wouldn't be me if I ain't get a little nasty.
Na 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 na.
They all I talk about is sex.
How about we just pull over and do it where we at? How about you just lift that skirt up? Ooh, we can be bad. That place that ain't been touched, I'm feeling on it. All that juice is through, keep feeling on it, yeah. Giddy up, get it up. Take me on a ride to ecstasy. You don't wanna bump up and take a nap. You just wanna bump up, bring you right back. Watch me, I'ma heat it up, beat it up. Ooh, no, you're tired of the usual, usual, usual. I can give you more than the usual. Not your regular, tell you what, let me touch. You gon' feel something unusual, unusual, unusual. I'm not coming with the usual. Tell you what, let me touch. You gon' feel something unusual. I wanna do freaky things you never do. Do. What if we did it while your friends was in the room, room? Is that too much for ya? Don't you feel bad? Let us see your sex. We can make a sex room wherever we go. Take it to the restroom. They ain't gotta know, no. Watch me heat it up, beat it up. Regular, tell you what, let me touch. You gon' feel something unusual, unusual, unusual. I'm not coming with the usual. Top dog, regular, tell you what, let me touch. You gon' feel something unusual.
Restaurant,
check.
Cinema,
check.
On the hood,
check.
Other car,
countertop,
check. Balcony,
check.
In the jet,
check.
On the beach,
this, that, other shit. You know you asked for it. I might just send you some money to get your passport. So you can come to my city, I take you all over. They hit you on the balcony, so don't fall over. Send me a picture, baby, you know I never leak it. I know you got certain reasons for someone decent. Why you laughing out loud? I'm serious. Bring your girl if you a little vicarious, please. Please don't story telling the others, I promise you gon' love it. I would never let you down. Feel like I might have perfected all the things that you expect. And you gon' know it when you bring your ass around.
No, you're tired of the usual, usual, usual. I can give you more than the usual.
Ooh.
Not your regular, tell you what, let me tell you. You gon' feel something unusual, unusual, unusual.
Look at the many love faces you're making. But can you take it?
Ooh. I thought I was nasty last time. Lego.
If I ain't got nothing, I got you. If I ain't got something, I don't give a damn, 'cause I got it with you. I don't know much about algebra, but I know 1 + 1 = 2. And it's me and you. That's all we'll have when the world is through. 'Cause baby, we ain't got nothing without love. Darling, you got enough for the both of us. So come on, baby, make love to me when my day low. Hold me in close and don't let me go. Make love to me. So
by you. Hey, and I don't know when I'm gonna die, but I hope that I'm gonna die by you. Hey, and I don't know much about fighting, but I know I will fight for you. Hey, just when I fall on my fist, I realize I'm laying right next to you, baby. We ain't got nothing but love, and darling, you got enough for the both of us. Ooh, make love for me when my days look low. Help me let down my guard. Make love to me. Oh, oh, oh. Make love to me.
Playlist. Hope you enjoyed it.
Great playlist, Steven.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks for the artists for all sending in your music. I want to give a special shout out to Dr. Gilliam and to EJ, Aaron's cousin, who will be flying out to defend our country. And for all you that listen, have a great week, and we'll see you again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
God bless.
Everything's gonna be all right.